This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Let's continue with the story of Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love and all that, John. Go ahead.
Sure. So with Courtney Love, I was telling you about this CIA agent whistleblower named John Stockwell, and so I have him in my film. I'd actually met him in 1990 at a lecture, and he told me some of this stuff face-to-face when I talked to him after his lecture, because I was working as a drug and alcohol counselor back in 1990 in Baltimore when he was visiting to lecture. So I have him in my film saying that he was saying one film in 1989, I believe it was, that he knows from his fellow CIA agents and some of what's going on in Afghanistan, that since, you know, we lost a lot of the supply of heroin from the Vietnam War area, we now are focused on the Afghanistan region, and that, you know, CIA agents were flying out, you know, with all their different planes from that region with loads of heroin into the United States. And so here they were bringing in, you know, loads of heroin, and so they had all this demand, they had all the supply. So I argue that they need to match demand, match supply. And the way they did that is to psychologically profile musicians the same way they did in the 1960s. Now, I'll just say in the 60s, they had also targeted Mick Jagger, because it came out in the London Daily Mail that undercover FBI agent Dave Schneiderman was also working for MI5 when he convinced Mick Jagger to use LSD for the first time in 1967 at a party of Keith Richards and gave him his first hits of acid. And then police came in and arrested them, and they promoted the fact that they're all tripping, promoting acid that way. But they didn't, of course, arrest Schneiderman, you know. So anyway, so here we're in the late 80s, and they're getting all this heroin to the United States in the early 90s. And so I argue that they psychologically profile these musicians. Kurt Cobain had a massive stomach problem. He admitted in his journals that he tried heroin about six times in 4 years between 1986 and 1990. And so he produces Nevermind. It's rising up the chart extremely fast, you know, up the music charts. And into his life, all of a sudden, appears this woman Courtney Love. She's, you know, dating Billy Corgan at that night, you know, at this party. And she immediately leaves her date, Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, and just leeches on to Kurt Cobain. They start dating, and she gets knocked up. You know, she gets pregnant within a few months. But all their friends in Seattle, all the people that knew them in Seattle, said that she got Kurt Cobain using heroin daily for the first time in his life. It solved his massive stomach problem. Everyone knows that, like, a tincture of opium is in, you know, some of those, like, I forget the names of those things. But either way, so he solved his stomach problem a little bit with the heroin at first. Then he found, I have him, you know, one film saying he found a medication that finally worked for his stomach. A year before his death, he told Rolling Stone magazine this on film, and he was so relieved they found, you know, a medication that worked for him after searching for so long. And so then there was a blood test done on Kurt Cobain a month before his death when he had a coma in Rome. And in that blood test, the doctor said there was no illegal substances in his, you know, body at all, except for Rohypnol. Now, Rohypnol is also called roofies. And Rohypnol was a sleep medication in England. And it's where, you know, it was Courtney Love's sleep medication, because in England you can use it for sleep legally. It's a legal drug in England. But so she was hanging out in London at the time. She comes over to Rome with her daughter Frances to let, you know, Kurt see Frances while he's on tour in Rome. And he proceeds to go into a coma because the best evidence is that she loaded a drink of his with loads of her Rohypnol and sent him into a coma. And of course, you forget everything that happened because it's roofies. Now, as an addictions counselor, I'm a counselor myself, and I started as an addictions counselor, and now I, of course, counsel on other issues also. But someone who doesn't have heroin that's in their system must not have been using for at least 3 to 5 days, because it stays in your system at least 3 to 5 days in detectability. And a heroin addict needs his heroin every single day. You know that too. I'm sure everyone knows that. Or you go through massive withdrawals. So he was obviously not a heroin addict, at least a month before his death. Yet, at his death, Cyril Wecht, head of the American Academy of Forensic Science, at one time said on film that there was enough heroin in Cobain's system to kill at least three severe addicts. Okay, and Cyril Wecht also said on film for Channel 9 News in Pittsburgh, where he works, that he believes that Cobain was murdered and was made to look like a suicide. And I have him in my film saying that for, you know, Channel 9 News. Yes, there's a lot of evidence that he was murdered and he was divorcing Courtney Love. I have his lawyer, Rosemary Carroll, on tape saying that that somebody copied his handwriting to produce this, you know, supposed suicide note. And he was, you know, divorcing Courtney at that time. He had told Rosemary Carroll to take her out of his will. And Rosemary Carroll said they were hateful by that time of his death. And Courtney Love said, get me the best divorce lawyer you could possibly find. And so that's what was going on at that time.
Wow. What about this question he asked who her real dad is?
Yeah, so her biological dad was Hank Harrison. And so I interviewed him for about 2 hours. And because he wrote a book called Love Kills about his daughter's, you know, aid in the murder of Kurt Cobain. And the story of that is that so him and his partner at the time, a woman who calls herself Linda Carroll now, they had Courtney Love together, and so but they separated after Courtney Love's birth, and so they're co-parenting from afar, you know, separated. They never actually got married, but so when Courtney was about 4 or 5 years old, there was a custody battle, and now Linda Carroll's parents were a couple named the Reeses. They owned uranium mines. They owned huge stock in Bausch & Lomb. They were extremely wealthy. And so in Linda Carroll's memoir, she said her father sexually abused her as a kid. And so they paid off Hank Harrison's lawyer to lose the case for him. And he lost complete custody of, you know, Courtney Love. Didn't see her again for years. And he went into a depression, he said. So then come when she's about 13 years old, her mother had kind of given up on her. She's in a juvenile delinquent facility, and she writes a letter to Hank Harrison saying that she was going to counseling from the age of 3 years on, which is very bizarre. But she says, my counselors were giving me psychohypnotic drugs, and she listed the psychohypnotic drugs, which are exotic drugs that were part of MKUltra for use in hypnosis. And she also said, my counselors were all having sex with me. So, of course, you know, Hank Harrison got her, you know, worked on getting her out of the juvenile delinquents facility, got her in custody of her again, and didn't realize she had turned into a monster. She was leaving heroin syringes all over his house. She was prostituting. By the age of 14, a mainstream biographer named Melissa Rossi wrote a book about Courtney Love, where she identifies Love as working as a stripper for the Japanese mafia in Japan at 14 years old. And then she proceeded to work for the Taiwanese mafia a few years later. And she got a hold of letters that Courtney Love had written to an old boyfriend that said she was prostituting at that time. So this is just some of the crazy evidence of Courtney Love. But Courtney Love proceeds to visit Hank Harrison when he's doing research in Dublin for a book. He was a writer. And so she just turned 17 years old. She comes there to visit him. And a new guy befriended Hank Harrison in Dublin, the guy named Stephen O'Leary. And Stephen O'Leary latches on to Courtney Love, proceeds to travel with her for 6 weeks into London. And she takes 1,000 hits of acid to London and spreads them around to the musicians in Liverpool and London like they're candy. And she proceeds to do the same thing in Portland, in Los Angeles, and in, you know, Seattle. And I show how that copies Robert Lashbrook, or what Robert Lashbrook did for the CIA's MKUltra program, you know, in the 60s. And so when in 2005 or 6 or so, Stephen O'Leary is dying. He's on his deathbed. And he writes a letter to Hank Harrison. Hank Harrison says, and he published, Hank Harrison puts that letter in a book of his, Love Kills, which he sent to me.
Let's find out what was in that letter. in our next segment. This is a cliffhanger, folks. John Potash, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce Anti-Aging Skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Do you like the way I do cliffhangers, John?
Yeah, sure.
Why don't you continue? This is part two.
Yeah, so Hank Harrison gets a letter from Stephen O'Leary saying that he was actually working for the CIA all that time that he was in Ireland. And so I looked up, you know, Stephen O'Leary and tried to find an obituary for Stephen O'Leary. And so Harrison had said he had died in Minnesota, and he had written that letter in the mid-2000s. And I found a Stephen O'Leary with a brother who he also described in that letter. He also described Hank Harrison said the brother was started hanging around Stephen O'Leary and Courtney Love too, whose name actually was Kevin O'Leary. And I don't know if that's coincidence or not, but Stephen O'Leary had a brother named Kevin O'Leary, died in Minnesota in the mid 2000s. And he used to be in Ireland. He was in Ireland in the 80s, just like, you know, it's at all testified to what Hank Harrison was saying. And he admitted working for the CIA over in Ireland during that time. And so, you know, here he is guiding the 17-year-old girl through London for 6 weeks as she passes out all this LSD to all these musicians and really messed up that musical scene, according to the musicians, you know, who talked about it there. But we're talking about Without a Man, Echo and the Bunny Man, the Pogues. I don't know if you know these London musicians. But so then she proceeds to go, as I said, and ruin these other music scenes. She marries a Los Angeles punk musician named Moreland. And this guy was actually the top punk musician in L.A. at that time. And he says he thought he was marrying a punk feminist. And he ended up thinking he was married to a right-wing Phyllis Diller, because she told him that she had sex with army generals in Alaska who convinced her that the wars were actually all good for us. And so she proceeds, when he doesn't follow her orders, she proceeds to have thugs come in and beat him up. So he just got away from her the best he could. And then she goes and latches on to, of course, Kurt Cobain and, you know, does what she does to him. So that's just some of the evidence I have about her and, you know, of course, the CIA, but there's a lot more.
Well, I'm sure there's people out there who really have followed this a lot closer than I have, but a lot of this is somewhat new to me. And, you know, I'd heard that there was some shady stuff going on, but never knew that it was to the extent that you're describing. If it's true, it almost sounds like, you know, Courtney could be forgiven because she's been manipulated since the time she was a young child into this life. I'm not saying that it excuses her, but I'm saying that now we can't just assume that she was, you know, some greedy wife who was just after the money. This is far more complex than that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know, you know, how messed up her mind is, but it's, you know, the techniques that she described that were going on with the psychohypnotic drugs and the sex at a really early age, those are the techniques described by other, you know, researchers about how they produce dissociative identity disorder for what they call mind control assassins.
And you are have been an addictions counselor with university qualifications, correct?
Yeah, I've done counseling. I also have an expertise in trauma, and I've seen a number of victims of trauma at a very early age, and some of them become dissociative, and some of them do develop dissociative identity disorder, yes.
I have to ask you a question here because we're moving deep, deep into the weeds of these subjects. What led you to become interested in any of this in the first place?
Well, one of my grandfathers came from a town called Trakhanbrod in Ukraine. It was also called Sofievka, Ukraine. And so that town was wiped out by the Nazis because it was 95% Jewish. And it was completely wiped out, taken out completely. It doesn't exist anymore. It's called Lost Town. My grandfather came before that happened, but another potash was supposedly a cousin. I'm not sure how distant that cousin was, but she said she was the only survivor of that town that came to the United States. And she describes it. You can look up her name. Betty Potash Gold is her name. She describes it. And so it's just, you know, having that in my history, I just was more interested in activism and genocide and anti-war. And, you know, my parents were activists. One of my grandparents was particularly activist. So I was into social activism. And then I was also into music, of course. When I got into drug counseling with a psych degree right out of college, I would hear all these stories from my clients about saying that really the government is the biggest traffickers, the biggest, you know, dealers of drugs. You know, I'm a small level dealer. They're the big dealers. And, so I started exploring some of what they were saying and being involved in the activism. I met people that were involved with the who gave me the Kerry report, Senator Kerry's report on the CIA-Contra crack cocaine, you know, scandal with Bush being involved with, you know, trafficking cocaine from the Contras and, you know, the Nicaragua area of the United States. And so I found out a lot early on and just started researching more and more about all the drugs. And this is what I came up with.
I have a fast question here, and I want to relate it to something else in a moment. The CIA's supposed mission is foreign intelligence. So how did they get involved in drug running and all this other nonsense?
Well, very early on, the British East India Company were one of the biggest opium shippers in the world. And there was a number of American families, particularly the Russells, but the Russells, the Cabots, the Lowes, and some of this comes from, you know, the history of Yale and the history of some Harvard archives. You can see stuff about these different families. But a guy named James Bradley wrote a book called Flags of Our Fathers that was turned into a Clint Eastwood movie. And he then ended up writing another book called The Imperial Cruise, where he identifies all the founders of these, you know, of most, not all, but most of the Ivy League colleges, and identifies how they all end up were actually came from opium money. They were opium shippers. The Cabots of Harvard, the Greens of Princeton, the Lowes of Columbia with Low Library. If you ever heard of Low Library in Columbia, I knew Low Library. But with the Russells in Yale, they started a, you know, small group there called Skull and Bones. And, it, you know, in Harvard, the Cabots started the Porcelain Club, which is similar, and each Ivy League school had its little exclusive club. Each member that graduated from that club would get, you know, would say it's equivalent of over $200,000 upon graduation. So they get a huge start in life. So, but this all came, you know, from opium money. And so the Russells also so intermarried the Pierponts of John Pierpont Morgan fame. And then they had people, you know, groups, families like the Rockefellers graduated from Skull and Bones. And they were intermarried with the Vanderbilts, the Carnegies, you know, the Harrimans and all. And so this is, you know, the start of the United States. This is why they were all into opium shipping and drug trafficking, because it was a huge, very profitable business. But I also argue that it was used for social control. And that's why they fought the opium wars in China in the mid-1800s. It wasn't just about making the money. It was there was so much opium abuse that they were kind of feckless as an army, because they're all smoking opium all the time.
You know what? Let's find out more about this stuff and how the CIA got involved in this mess, and I'll relate that to a couple of other stories in a moment. John Potash, Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump supporters were gathering outside the Trump Tower this afternoon in New York City to show their support for the president as the Mueller investigation comes to a close. Many of the supporters were wearing Make America Great Again hats and waving American flags.
We have people here from everywhere. We want to show them that there's support up here in these liberal states, because we tend to be forgotten about.
The Justice Department has said that Congress could receive that special counsel report as early as Sunday. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft is apologizing after being charged in a Florida massage parlor prostitution and trafficking investigation. Kraft said in a statement that he's truly sorry and he knows he has disappointed and hurt his family, friends, coworkers, and fans, and many others who rightfully hold him to a higher standard. Kraft said in the statement that he hopes to not be judged by his words but by his actions, and through those actions he hopes to regain people's confidence and respect. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams, but now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. 800-280-2144. Call right now. That number again is 800-280-2144.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, very briefly, and some of our listeners may know this since there are conspiracy theories online, I had a relative who may or may not have been implicated in some kind of CIA drug-running operation in the 1970s. Where he was caught and charged with conspiracy. And he insisted that he was in touch with intelligence people. I don't know the truth. I guess we'll never know the truth because he's no longer with us. That relates to this. Let me give you one other thing, and then we can go on to the stories. In the 1950s, height of UFO fever, Major Donald Keough, one of the key authors at the time, written several books, including Flying Saucers from Outer Space, the Flying Saucer Conspiracy. He was director of an organization called NICAP, National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. He took it over from somebody else. And he set up a board of governors consisting of prominent people. And one of those prominent people was a former classmate at Annapolis with Keough, Rear Admiral Roscoe Hillencotter. You know him as the first head of the CIA. That started conspiracy theories, let me tell you. I just wonder also if the CIA has been looking into people who follow UFOs.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course, Hillencotter was one of the people who believed that UFOs should be investigated. I mean, that's getting, you know, a bit off track here from our show today, but John, mostly we do deal a lot in the paranormal, and we might touch on some of these connections here that I'm putting together during the show in the After the Paracast. But, you know, Courtney Love, just returning to her briefly, she did go on to warn about Harvey Weinstein, but I don't know that she's mentioned any of these other connections herself anywhere. Do you know if she's ever put in her own biography or any written about any of these experiences she's had herself or admitted to them anywhere?
She's just touched on. She says Hank Harrison gave her LSD at an early age, but the way she says it, of course, she says he did it to make me super smart to promote LSD. And then she also said that I also know that crack makes people great at math. You know, using crack cocaine makes people great at math. So she actually said this for real, and I think it was a Barbara Waters interview. This is kind of craziness she's promoting, but people, looked up to her at a certain point, and might even believe some of this stuff she says. So what can I tell you?
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, what would you do if she came to you and said, you're absolutely right about all of it. I want you to do a documentary. I'm the victim here. I want to expose it all, but maybe she's just.
Well, that'd be great if she did that. I think she's too far gone to do something like that.
You took the words right out of my mouth there. Yeah. I guess if it was the Vietnam War in the 60s, then sort of what was more the agenda in the 80s with Cobain and the others? I guess we're still looking at the opium trade and wars overseas.
And the cocaine trade. They were the Reagan Bush administration were launching serious counterinsurgency wars in Central America and South America. There was a lot of fights for independence. The Sandinistas fought against the dictator Somoza in Nicaragua and overthrew the longtime U.S. supported dictatorship of Somoza family in Nicaragua and did amazing things in Nicaragua once they overthrew him. According to the World Health Organization, they just did incredible things with literacy. Also, they taught so many in Nicaragua to read for the first time because it was the Somoza family kept it, the populace so illiterate there in Nicaragua. It was just a lot of different counterinsurgency programs. Plus, they were losing their kind of control over the populace of South America too. And a lot of these countries were involved in something called Operation Condor. And that had been, the CIA had been very implicated in Condor. And that all started with, believe it or not, the harboring of Nazis. After World War II, some of these powerful families I talked about, particularly the Dulleses were the lawyers for the Rockefeller and J.P. Morgan interests before they became head of CIA and Secretary of State. And so the Dulleses had helped and, a number of these other agents for these families had helped really save thousands of Nazis. The New York Times estimate was about 9,000 Nazis. Other estimates, I have someone in my film, a German journalist, who says he believes that 50,000 Nazis were given haven down in the Central and South America, mostly South America. What I show is that they were actually used as CIA assets in that they had these incredible colonies in each of these countries and a number of these Operation Condor countries. And New York Times even admitted that a German doctor named Peter Schaefer had a German colony in Chile and was accused by a new government in Chile of sexually abusing loads of young boys. But he also was found to have a army worth of weapons and a huge set of intelligence files. And he had underground chambers where he was torturing suspects, left-wing suspects, who would oppose the right-wing dictator of Chile at the time, which was Pinochet, General Pinochet, who was supported by the U.S.
Appreciating stuff there. What's the connection to any of that and the musicians? I guess once we start moving south, we could maybe look at people like Bob Marley. Are there any South American musicians that
there are. I know I'm pretty sure I mentioned them in both books, but there was a great most popular folk musician in Chile was killed under Operation Condor. I didn't show a drug connection to him, but these Nazis, Klaus Barbie was one of them. He was called the Butcher of Lyon. Barbie was teamed up with some of the cocaine drug lords and led the cocaine coup in Bolivia. And they actually had a Nazi flag flying in the Andes after this cocaine coup. But I was in the 1980s in Bolivia. But so they were bringing tons of the cocaine up from there cheaply to the United States. And when it came to the United States, a guy named Gary Webb, who broke had the first viral article on the internet about the CIA Contra crack conspiracy. He said that in his book Dark Alliance about it all. Now, he wasn't the only one to break this. Robert Perry of Newsweek and Associated Press had actually broken it before him, but he didn't get as much attention because, you know, they didn't have the viral internet articles back then, you know, and earlier. But, you know, they had the whole hearings on all this, and so you know all about it. Nonetheless, Gary Webb said one of the, you know, Freeway Ricky Ross was the key national point man for the CIA assets that were bringing over the cocaine from the Honduras, Nicaragua areas of the United States. The Contras who were doing that. And then Freeway Ricky Ross had two associates. And I forget the name of the first guy, but the other guy was a guy named Michael Harry O. Harris. Now, the interesting thing about Michael Harry O. Harris is he also started a record company called Death Row Records. And when he started that Death Row Records, he then ended up in jail, but his lawyer kept it going, Dave Kenner. And his lawyer then teamed up with a guy named Suge Knight, who kept running Death Row Records and kept offering a young activist musician named Tupac Shakur tons of money to come onto Death Row Records. Before Tupac even got as big as he got, he was getting tons of money offered to him to come onto Death Row Records. He didn't know why. Death Row Records was actually kind of associated with Interscope Records as being under the Time Warner, because Time Warner bought out 51% of Interscope, controlling interest, but also had started Death Row Records, gave $10 million to this upstart little Death Row Records to start out of nowhere and become super huge.
What super huge are these announcements coming our way? No, that's right. Bad. I don't know how huge they are, but we'll assume they are. John Potash, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Locket Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LocketPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LocketPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LocketPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Time Warner giving all this money to set up this record company.
Yes, yeah, so Time Warner is just interlocked with, you know, the top defense contractors. They share boards of directors of the defense contractors, pharmaceutical companies, the banks. And so Time Warner also had a guy named Paxton, who was going back and forth between being vice president of Time Warner and head of psychological warfare for the U.S. government. You know, this is according to Francis Stoner Saunders, who looked through the trove of letters and records of C.D. Jackson that are in a small city in the Midwest where C.D. Jackson originally came from, Charles Douglas Jackson. So Time Warner is intimately connected to U.S. intelligence. They start this Death Row Records. Death Row Records proceeds to get a guy named Dr. Dre as their one of their top new rappers, and he came from N.W.A., which is really, really popular. Dre is now considered one of the top rap producers of all time because he produced Eminem, he produced other people that became really big.
Parenthetically, the company Dr. Dre was associated with, Beats, was acquired by Apple.
Right, for a huge amount of money. Was it a billion or more dollars?
That's $3 billion.
How much they bought that for. Right. And so then they get Snoop Dogg on there, and Snoop Dogg, you've probably heard of, you know, as I said, Tupac Shakur was born into the Black Panther family. His mother was a one-time leader of the Harlem Black Panthers, Fannie Shakur, brilliant young woman. And Tupac's father was Matulu Shakur, who was an acupuncturist who solved drug addiction through acupuncture in the Bronx at Lincoln Detox. He was he also started the Republic of New Africa, and which was a group that was in kind of a you know, in parallel to the Black Panthers and just doing good community activist work. So Tupac, you know, is heading this New African Panthers, and he's lured into rap because he thinks that's a better way to get across his message nationally. He's touring with Digital Underground, who had won a Grammy Award, I believe. And then he gets this solo release with Interscope, an upstart new music company called Interscope, started by a guy named Ted Fields, who's father was Marshall Fields, who owned these tons of department stores in Chicago. And so he gets, you know, that big break and comes and gets, he happens to be a Baltimore Museum of, I'm sorry, the Baltimore School for the Arts trained actor too. So Tupac gets a, you know, star acting role in Juice and then does Poetic Justice with John Singleton and one of the Jackson women, Janet Jackson. And so he starts, you know, becoming huge instantly, but the death, you know, the murder attempts start on him immediately, too. Right when his MTV first video was released from his first, you know, solo album, Oakland police proceed to arrest him for jaywalking, choke him unconscious, and smash his head against the curb repeatedly. What? Okay. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And so then there's a drive-by on his limousine when he's going to the first premiere of Juice, the film Juice. And then he's at a Marin Fest as the honorary guest at this Marin Music Festival right near Oakland. And people shoot at him for no reason, and the police just watch and only arrest Tupac and not these guys that shot at him for no reason. And then there's a situation in New York where he's going to a recording studio, the Quad Recording Studio, to lay down a few tracks for a few $1,000s, just a few lines for somebody. And he's shot twice in the skull while he's lying face down on the ground in a supposed mugging. So Kathy Scott, a Las Vegas Sun reporter, did a book about Tupac and Biggie Smalls. And in her book about Biggie Smalls, she says that she talked to the doorman at the recording studio, and you know, and he said that he offered the videotape of these guys that did this shooting of Tupac to the police, and the police turned it down and just closed the case. So that's some of what happened before he was even finally murdered. But you know,
that's pretty shocking, really. Yeah. I mean, is that more to do with some kind of Black culture versus white supremacists, or where does the CIA drug thing fit into that?
Because Tupac, after he left the New African Panthers, he had a new agenda, which was what he developed with his, you know, imprisoned Black Panther, was his Black activist father, Matulu Shakur, which was to pretend to be a gangster in order to appeal to gangs and politicize them, because Tupac's Black Panther extended family were getting the Bloods and Crips in Los Angeles to call peace truces and turn on to activism and fight racism. And this started just before, really days before the LA riots. And it was kind of inspired by, you know, the Rodney King beating by the police that, you know, was such blatant, horrible police brutality. But they were being successful, the Black Panthers and Tupac were successful at getting these, different gang leaders throughout Los Angeles and then throughout California to call peace truces and turn on to activism. And that was spreading throughout the country. And that was taking loads of dealers off the streets and turning them on to actually legal activities. There's so many gangs actually stopped drug dealing to the point that the Latin Kings in New York City, the largest gang in New York City, followed suit with that. Young Lords, the Latina version of the Black Panthers, influenced King Tone, Antonio King Tone Fernandez, just to get his gang, the Latin Kings, to stop drug dealing and turn on to activism. So I showed the evidence that took billions of dollars out of the pockets of the CIA drug traffickers and even more money out of the money launderers in the banks and the multinational corporations that launder all this drug money.
Oh, I see. That's where the connection is. So what you're saying is that their supply was actually facilitated in part by the system, and then the system itself is also responsible for a huge part of the monetary workings. And it helps turn the gears. And so all the people, when you get big money involved with almost anything and someone wants to shut off the tap, it's going to upset somebody. That's right. For sure.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
And so a high level police officer named Russell Poole stumbled upon what was going on in Death Row Records. And he said he found that dozens of his fellow Los Angeles police officers were working at all levels of Death Row Records. And he says, what are they doing there? He asked his bosses. And they told him, you can call them troubleshooters or covert agents. And so this was reprinted in a book called Labyrinth about Russell Poole and the whole Los Angeles police rampart scandal that evolved out of Russell Poole's investigation of Death Row Records and Tupac and Biggie's deaths. So that book revealed a lot. Nick Broomfield's Biggie and Tupac film revealed a lot of what Russell Poole found. And three top Hollywood actors. First, it was Sylvester Stallone tried to do a movie based, you know, and he was going to play Russell Poole. And it was announced in all the, you know, local movie magazines and all that. And it was canned. And then Leonardo DiCaprio was going to play Russell Poole. DreamWorks was behind it. They were into the making of the film. It was all proceeding accordingly. And then all of a sudden, Los Angeles Police Department, obviously with incredible power and with their CIA associations, closed it down. And finally, Johnny Depp was going to play Russell Poole. And they were going to cover the whole Labyrinth book and scandal and all that. And all that was going on Death Row Records and the killing of Tupac and Biggie. And it was actually got to the point that I saw the preview in my local theater in the summer, this past summer. And at the last minute, about a week before it was supposed to be released, or maybe 2 weeks or so, whatever, they closed it down. They didn't allow its release.
Why?
Some powerful forces didn't allow its release.
But we don't know the details.
We don't know the details, but it's pretty amazing, you know, that these groups are so powerful that they can keep shutting down these the revelations that Russell Poole had. And Russell Poole kept him. He was forced to retire from the force early. Came out with his information. You know, as I say, a veteran reporter, Randall Sullivan, did his book Labyrinth about it. Nick Broomfield, who won loads of awards in England, did his film. You know, Biggie and Tupac about it. And then so Russell Poole kept investigating, but so he was handing over evidence of who he thought the actual shooter was of Tupac to his fellows, to some police officers he knew in Los Angeles and in the police precinct. And he suddenly coincidentally has a heart attack there. And, people close to him told me that there's, you know, loads of evidence that some of the culprits of all this were actually at that meeting, that he didn't expect to be there, and they did something to him. It wasn't a heart attack. But he died in 2015, and I've been talking to his son since then.
Let's do a break here.
Yeah.
Break time. More with John Podesh. Gene Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They gave did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.